Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 51 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
They may be a month, less than a half out, maybe not that far. I believe they're getting everything in place, and my understanding is that'll be a place where you can order food.
Two businesses in downtown Moorhead are close to opening.
A Moorhead man accused of racially charged vandalism will appear in court next month.
The city has approved a $750,000 loan.
The Round County attorney has filed for re-election.
The State Department of Transportation is gearing up for winter.
In sports, the Kentucky basketball team plays Kansas tonight in Chicago.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
It'll be clear tonight, lows around 33 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Round County Sheriff's Department busted five people for allegedly trafficking drugs. Sheriff Matt Sparks tells the Moorhead News the arrest come after multiple controlled buys from each of the accused. The men were arrested on sealed indictments earlier this month. 37-year-old Emerson Trent was arrested for trafficking more than 2 grams of methamphetamine. This is Trent's second offense, and he could face up to 40 years in prison. 31-year-old Jarvis DeHart, 30-year-old Christopher Skaggs, 36-year-old Joseph Cole, and 52-year-old Bobby Stamford Jr. were also arrested. Sheriff said his office is also seeking indictments regarding trafficking in Bath County for Skaggs, DeHart, and Horton.
The man accused of vandalizing property in a Moorhead neighborhood and possibly committing a hate crime in late September will appear in court next month. A preliminary hearing for 20-year-old Jeffrey Masters will be held December 13th in Round District Court. Masters pled not guilty almost 2 weeks ago to a felony charge of criminal mischief. Judge Willie Roberts will determine if his case will be sent to a grand jury. Authorities have accused Masters of damaging some property at homes located on McClure Circle and of spray painting a racial slur and a swastika on the side of a house rented by some black Moorhead State University students. He's currently free on bond.
Police in Lexington are investigating shots fired into several homes early this morning. According to WKYT, neighbors reported 10 to 20 shots being fired on North Upper Street near downtown around 3 a.m. Just after the call, police say two men showed up at UK Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Investigators are working to see if those victims are involved in the shooting.
Three people have been indicted in Mason County in connection with the theft of a purse. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports a grand jury handed down the indictments Friday to Mackenzie McCain, Malcolm Walker, and Caleb Singleton. All three are accused of stealing a purse and credit cards from a car belonging to Summer Lake and attempting to use them. All three were indicted on one count of theft by unlawful taking under $500, first-degree criminal mischief, and fraudulent use of a credit card more than $500, but less than $10,000. McCain remains in the Mason County Detention Center. Walker and Singleton have been released.
We'll have more of your local headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, sponsor of the annual Moorhead-Rowan County Community Christmas Dinner, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Rowan County residents are invited to enjoy dinner served by the elected officials of Moorhead City Council and the Rowan County Fiscal Court, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center.
After months of planning and construction, two businesses being built in the center of Moorhead are finally close to opening. Tony Pence is the executive director of Downtown Moorhead Incorporated. Pence says a tap room on North Wilson Avenue, near its corner with Main Street, will open its doors early next month, with a nearby companion sports pub to start serving customers sometime after that. He thinks both new businesses will mean a lot of good things for the town's central business district.
And if we get these projects going, you know, that's part of the big catalyst project that we're working on is, you know, there'll need to be some vertical parking to accommodate the new stuff. And so it's a complex puzzle, the whole thing. But, yeah, hopefully the tap room and the new restaurant will create a whole lot of new folks downtown walking and driving. And, you know, it'll help all the other businesses that are already there.
Steve Williams and Damon Ballinger are the developers for the two establishments.
The city of Morehead has approved a $750,000 loan to purchase a property for future recreation purposes. The second reading of an ordinance passed at last night's city council meeting finalizes the deal with BB&T Company. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the loan will help the city purchase the so-called Perkins property.
As you come across the bridge on Bridge Street, come across into City Park, on your right, it's the property between Bridge Street and the recycling center. It's about five acres, including some land down in the bottom, but the main part of the area we're talking about for future recreation development are the 3.5 acres on top.
Trent says the council's action last night ensures the city meets all deadlines without incurring any more fees.
A Rowan County man who is running against Kim Davis says the controversy surrounding the incumbent clerk was not a factor for his candidacy. Elwood Caudill Jr. is one of three Democratic candidates who have filed to run for the county clerk next year against the incumbent Davis. Caudill narrowly lost the seat in the 2014 election. He says things would be different if he had won.
What's happened is done. And there's no going back and fixing what has happened. I can say, had I won last time, we wouldn't have went through what we went through. The clerk wouldn't have. So I wouldn't have had a problem or an issue.
Caudill will face Naisha Fife and Jamie Jesse in the May primary. So far, Davis is the only Republican running for the clerk's office.
Rowan County Attorney Cecil Watkins wants to keep his job. Last week, the Democrat officially filed paperwork to run for re-election next year. Should he return to the office that he's held for the past 8 years, Watkins says he has a couple of main goals that he'd like to accomplish.
I always hope to improve my child support goal numbers, and hopefully I get to work with Matt Sparks. Matt's done a wonderful job when it comes to attacking the drugs in our community, and hopefully we can continue to fight that epidemic. We do a lot better than some of the surrounding counties, but obviously we don't stop at all, but we're lucky to work with him.
Sparks is Rowan County Sheriff. Watkins says he's proud of improvements made by his office in collecting overdue child support payments since he took it over in December 2009. Watkins was appointed Rowan's attorney by former judge executive Jim Nickel. He replaced Willie Roberts, who became the county's district judge.
With winter just around the corner, an official says Kentucky Transportation Cabinet crews in northeastern Kentucky are ready to keep the region's highway free of snow and ice. Alan Blair is the spokesman for the cabinet's District 9 office in Flemingsburg. According to Blair, work to get snow plows and other equipment ready for the winter began several months ago, and the district has plenty of road salt stored in sheds across its 10-county service region.
And it kind of varies by county depending on the size of the salt dome, but in general we have about 24,000 tons. That's good for quite a number of snowstorms. Only once or twice have we used all of our salt and then had to replenish. But we do have those contracts in place.
Blair says those deals would allow the district to buy more road salt if needed. He said it could also get salt from the state's main supply facility in Louisville.
Poverty is on the rise in northeastern Kentucky, WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
A recent study by Kentucky Youth Advocates showed that the five co-counties of Boyd, Carter, Greenup, Elliott, and Lawrence have more households on the brink of poverty as compared to 5 years ago. A report in the Ashland Daily Independent says that the study also shows that out of those five counties, three of them have more households suffering through deep poverty. Tammy Steele, administrator of the Greenup County District McKinney-Vento program, says that the area has seen an increase from 185 to 200 students per week who need to have food sent home to them or they might otherwise go hungry. On the good news side of things, the KYA said that the health of those living in the 5-Co area has shown improvement in several areas, including in its number of low birth weight babies and its number of uninsured children. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Attorney General Andy Beshear is taking action against human trafficking to every hotel in Kentucky. Beshear is establishing his See Something, Say Something, Save a Life initiative. Beshear says the movement focuses on hotels where victims are subject to capture.
Traffickers take advantage of our hospitality industry. They have hidden behind hotel doors and used false identities to exploit our most vulnerable young men and young women for their own financial gain.
Hotel staff and travel workers are already being required to view training videos that teach them how to spot signs of trafficking. Bashir's office is currently working 14 human trafficking cases in unison with 96 human trafficking complaints.
Dealing with the after effects of sexual harassment is a difficult journey for many survivors. One such survivor is Michelle Kelty, who spoke with Spectrum News' Pure Politics about her experience of sexual harassment in her workplace 3 years ago. Kelty says the trauma she suffered continues to this day.
I suffer from nightmares. I have flashbacks daily. I've been in therapy for almost as long as the day that it occurred. And I reported. It wasn't just me. It involved more than just myself in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So we reported, and we kept hitting roadblocks and obstacles.
Kelty is a member of the Survivors Council, which advises and assists the Office of the Kentucky Attorney General to make sure their efforts are victim-centered, effective, and responsive to the needs of diverse victims.
Kentucky Power is teaming up with other utility companies to stand up against scams. Utilities United Against Scams, a group of more than 100 U.S. and Canadian utility companies, will hold its second annual Utility Scam Awareness Day tomorrow. Several people have lost money this year to con artists claiming to be collecting money for overdue bills for utility providers. Allison Barker, Corporate Communications Manager for Kentucky Power, says the number of people victimized by those scams is up compared to last year.
In 2017, 74 people have reported being a victim of a scam in Kentucky. The same time last year, there were 59, so there are a few more in 2017.
With the winter months quickly approaching, customers should be wary of phone calls or emails from people who claim to be your utility providers. Kentucky Power advises that if you believe you received a bogus call, hang up, call 911, and do not engage in further conversations with the caller.
A 2-year Chinese ban on American horses has been lifted. China quarantined the animals due to the possibility of spreading an infectious disease. According to Spectrum News' Pure Politics, the Chinese typically spend over $35 million on horses in Europe, New Zealand, and Australia. Now it's expected to see about half of China's horse buying to come from the States. Chauncey Morris is the executive director of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association.
This industry is the most valuable horse industry, thoroughbred industry and horse industry in the world. We have a huge, valuable investment to protect here, and we work very closely in a collegial way with our state, local, federal authorities and all our private veterinarians in order to ensure that we do that.
Kentucky thoroughbred imports are vitally important to central Kentucky's economy. The industry provides over 85,000 jobs to the area. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight it'll be clear, lows around 33 degrees. Tomorrow an 80% chance of rain blowing in the afternoon, highs around 57. Tomorrow night a 70% chance of rain continuing, lows in the low 40s. On Thursday it'll clear up to mostly sunny skies with highs in the upper 40s. That night mostly clear, lows around 32. And at the end of this week on Friday, partly cloudy, highs around 56 degrees. It's currently sitting at 50 degrees in Ashland as well as in Winchester, 47 right now in Inez, 49 in Flemingsburg and in Lexington, and 51 degrees here in Moorhead.
On our feature segment today, a recently established public information officer position for the city of Ashland has been filled. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
Joanna King worked as the director of the American Red Cross of Eastern Kentucky until she was officially hired by the city of Ashland on Friday. She says she can't wait to begin her new job.
I can't wait to get started. I know I have to wait a couple of weeks, but I've really been thinking about all the opportunity that the city has and the chance to help the elected officials and make sure our citizens are communicated with. I'm beside myself.
King beat out five other candidates for the PIO position after being interviewed by the city manager Michael Gracie and city commissioners Matt Perkins and Amanda Clark.
We moved in to Ashland 2014 January, so I'll be 4 years in January.
King is a Wilmington, North Carolina native. Although she may not originally be from Ashland, she says she's proud she can call Ashland her home.
I have a vested interest in Ashland. My husband was born and raised here. We moved here almost 4 years ago. My children are being raised here. It's just it's an amazing town. Everybody welcomed me with open arms. You know, I've lived a lot of places in my life, and I've never quite felt home the way that I feel in Ashland.
As the director for the Red Cross of Eastern Kentucky, King gained knowledge and experiences that not only improved her qualification for the Ashland job, but also her ability to connect with local residents.
With the Red Cross, I covered 23 counties, but with the home office and the chapter location being in Ashland, I've really built a lot of networking, a lot of community. I have a lot of people that I can turn to for support, and you know, I couldn't ask for a better community to stand behind me in this.
As for the Red Cross, King says that although she won't be employed there anymore, she will continue to volunteer.
I don't want to leave the Red Cross. I do plan to stay as a volunteer and as a supporter. I don't intend to go away from the Red Cross. I'm ready to focus on one area, and then Ashland couldn't be better.
King believes her work with the Red Cross and the variety of things they do has helped her move forward and opened her eyes to new possibilities.
With the Red Cross, there's so much more than just disaster relief that really everybody doesn't realize goes on behind the scenes. There's CPR training and blood drives. There's preparedness for our community with kids, and I'm always going to have a special place in my heart for the Red Cross, and I do want to stay involved. This just gives me an opportunity to see how you can get the word out about all the different things that are going on in the city, not just the one thing that's catching headlines.
Having received a bachelor's degree in information technology from Western Governors University before pursuing a master's degree in government administration, King understands the importance of the job and the skills it will demand.
Communication is going to be key, making sure that not only are the citizens hearing all of the things that are going on with the city, but that the city is hearing the citizens. I want to make sure that everybody feels like they have a voice in what's happening in their community. And, you know, we can't always do everything that's suggested to us, but it's really important to take those suggestions and make sure that they get in front of the key players.
Joanna King is set to begin her new job as the public information officer for the city of Ashland on December 4th. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 4:48 and 51 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm Leanne Akers, your Mountain Edition host, here with Arlo Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us this afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Swing your partner at the Community Square Dance at the Round County Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Monday, November 20th. Admission is $3 and free to students. Enjoy live music and beginner-friendly. All ages and ability levels are welcome. Sponsored by the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music. Come to the Community Square Dance at the Round County Arts Center, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, November 20th.
That's going to test. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The freshman-laden Kentucky basketball team faces its biggest challenge of the early season tonight. The 2-0 and 7th-ranked Wildcats will do battle with number 4 Kansas at 9:30 as part of the Champions Classic in Chicago. Coach John Calipari believes it will be a hard game for UK to win.
Kansas is flying. They're shooting 25 33s. They're going to shoot them. Whether we're zone man, triangle and two box, they're taking 25 to 33s. They'll still run some of their weave into pick and roll. They do a lot of pick and roll to try to throw skip passes to shoot. I mean, they're who they always are. Play tough. They're a good defensive team.
Also tonight in the Windy City, top-rated Duke will square off with number 2 Michigan State. That game is set to get started at 7 o'clock. The 0-2 Morehead State basketball team is at home for the first time this season Thursday to take on Marshall. The Eagles' top returner from last season, LaMontre Harris, has been plagued with foul trouble in the first two games, leading him to scoring just 10 total points. but MSU coach Preston Spradlin isn't too worried about it.
Foul trouble really hurt him, and those aren't necessarily just his fouls. Maybe he's being unselfish and rotating over and trying to erase one of his teammates' mistakes as well in some of those. And so that's that. You got to look at it that way. That's encouraging Montre Peepman's focus on his teammates and not just himself. But you're right. He's a guy that in and out every single night, he's a terrific player for our league. And I think once he gets going, then that'll certainly provide a spark offensively.
Marshall comes into Johnson Arena at 2-0 on the young season. Two members of the support staff for the Auburn men's basketball program have been placed on administrative leave as part of an investigation into the program. Special Assistant Jordan Verhurst and Video Coordinator Frankie Sullivan have been banished while the probe continues. It began after former Associate Head Coach Chuck Person's arrest in September as part of a federal investigation into corruption in college basketball. UCLA freshmen LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill, who have been detained in China for the past week on suspicion of shoplifting, are now headed back to the United States and are scheduled to arrive later tonight in Los Angeles. UCLA has not announced any disciplinary actions as of yet. After falling 68-60 last night at home to Gardner-Webb, the 1-1 Morehead State women's basketball team is looking at tuning up its game before its next outing. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles hurt themselves in the loss with 16 turnovers, which the Bulldogs turned into 24 points.
They did put some good pressure in some spots, but a lot of them were turnovers that were unforced, and we have got to get better in. We had a tough time against Sac State handling the ball, so that's an area we will definitely have to continue to get better in.
The MSU women had 24 turnovers in Saturday's win against Sacramento State. They host Brescia tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Game 3 of the Matthew Mitchell Classic. With one game left to go on the Eagles' 2017 schedule, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier is already thinking about next year. As MSU gets ready to take its 3-7 record up against Davidson at home on Saturday, Tenier says the key for turning things around in 2018 starts with those players who will be back with this team next fall.
It's going to take a really special group of guys to say that, listen, I've had enough of this. I want to be the team. I want to be the guy. I want to be the guys that bring this program together and create the right culture, the culture needed for us to be consistently winners, and that's where we need to go moving forward.
MSU is losing 13 seniors to graduation. The Kentucky football team is looking ahead to the big task of facing Georgia this weekend, just days after the formerly number one rated Bulldogs lost the first game of the season. While UGA will likely be out to prove something after Saturday's 40-17 mauling by number 6 Auburn, UK coach Mark Stoops won't concern himself with the Dogs' mental state as his Cats get ready to face the Dogs down in Athens.
I could never worry at all about what another team's psyche is, because I can't control that. I have no idea what they're doing over there. I just know what I see on film, and that's a very good football team that's very well coached. But I'm worried about us and us continue to sustain the good things we've done this past week and the good things we've done all year.
UK lost to Georgia last year 27-24 in Lexington. With its 2017 season ending just 11 days ago, the Round County football team is enjoying a little R&R. However, Coach Kelly Ford says in another week or so, it will be back to work for the Vikings as they begin preparation for their 2018 campaign.
We do an open weight room session. We'll have a team meeting and get all our scheduled dates lined out. And we'll do open weight room for 2 weeks, and then we start making it mandatory within a couple weeks.
The Vikings recently ended a 3-8 season in Ford's first year as head coach with a 49-7 loss to Scott in round one of the Class 4A playoffs. Finally in sports, the Baseball Writers have named the game's 2017 Rookies of the Year. The American League honor goes to New York Yankees right fielder Aaron Judge, who hit .284 while also setting a rookie record with 52 home runs.
It's an honor and a privilege. You know, I'm just one piece in the organization, you know. You know, the impact my teammates, you know, my families and friends have had on me through this first year has been huge, and I can't thank everyone enough.
LA Dodgers first baseman Cody Bellinger is the NL's top rookie after hitting 39 homers and driving in 97 runs during his freshman campaign. At sports for WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Men's basketball welcomes Marshall at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Women's basketball is home with North Florida at 6 p.m. on Friday. And football hosts Davidson at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Taking a look at some events happening around your region, the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will meet tonight at the Pathways Building located at 325 Main Street in Moorhead. That meeting starts at 6 p.m. Family, friends, and loved ones of people with mental illness, as well as people living with mental illness, are encouraged to attend.
The Kentucky Career Center, TENCO, will host a job fair at the Round Campus of the Maysville Community and Technical College from noon to 4:30 tomorrow. The event is open to all MCTC students and the public.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell as shares of GE slumped for a second straight day, and also concerns about potential global economic slowdown and U.S. tax reform also dampened investor sentiment. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 30.23 at 23,409.47. At its worst today, the Dow Jones was down well over 100 points, so it made certainly a nice comeback since the earlier lows that we hit. The S&P 500 finished with a loss of 5.97 at 2578.87, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 19.72 at 6737.87. GE shares fell 5.9% to their lowest level since 2011 and have fallen more than 10% over the past 2 days. The company unveiled a massive restructuring plan yesterday and slashed its dividend by 50%. In China, data that was released overnight on retail sales, industrial output, and fixed asset investment growth all missed expectations, which, as mentioned, dampened near-term hopes for global growth here in the near term, certainly based on China's data, which does affect Asia and, of course, does have a huge global impact. And investors also were concerned about the new tax bill, and they were worried about whether Republican lawmakers would pass a tax plan by year end. Last week, the Senate unveiled a tax bill that would delay cutting the corporate tax rate to 20% until 2019, the current U.S. corporate tax rate being 35%. The House, meanwhile, wants to vote on its own tax bill this week, which would immediately reduce the corporate tax. Dow component Home Depot reported earnings and revenue that beat expectations. Same-store sales, a key metric for retailers, crushed estimates, and the stock rose 1.6%. And TJX Companies, the parent company of TJ Maxx, posted earnings per share that were in line with expectations while revenue missed. The company stock fell after the same-store sales for the quarter remained flat, and analysts polled going into the report expected a gain on same-store sales of 2.3%, and TJX shares did fall 4% on the heels of that news. In economic news, the U.S. Producer Price Index rose 0.4% in October. Economists polled going into the report expected an increase of 0.1%. In the commodities markets, oil was down 2.625% on a bearish IEA report, finishing at $55.29 a barrel. Gold was up 0.8% at $1,280.40 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, the Stock 600 index was down 0.6%, and in Asia, the Shanghai index was down 0.5%, and the Hang Seng index was down 0.1% as the bearish economic news from China definitely had an effect on global markets. Among Dow stocks, the best performers were Home Depot and Coca-Cola. The worst performers were GE and Dow DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Advanced Auto Parts and Envision Healthcare, while the worst performers were Newfield Exploration and Range Resources. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 42 cents at $66.68, Marathon Petroleum up 68 cents at $62.88, CSX down 35 cents at $49.40, AK Steel down 15 cents at $4.15, AEP up $1.26 at $77.39, and Anthem was up 20 cents to finish at $218.66. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Cody Robinson, Brian Courtney, Chaz Jenkins, Ellen Barnett, and Braxton Howard. With our feature segment today, WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.